We just have mics unplugged in the mic studio room thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can keep protecting your guy all you want, but some things look a lot like sabotage. That's all I'm saying.
Oh man. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Rob Brown Radio program. Is on your radios and your TVs and your laptops and your tablets and your cell phones and wherever it is and whatever you happen to be listening on. We're on it. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. My dudes, it is official. I mean, it was Masters Week on Monday. But like now it's Masters Week. We had our champions dinner last night. At noon today, we have our par 3 competition, one of my favorite events of the week.
Why do you keep saying we? Are you doing all that?
I mean, we have the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. I'm not playing in it, but it doesn't mean it's not, you know, part of a thing that I'm very excited about.
So you're saying this is your dream to be a part of all that?
I want you to know that the list of things that I would not do for an opportunity to play Augusta is shorter, dramatically shorter, than the list of things that I would do to get around at Augusta.
Would you lose a testicle?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't need them.
Wow.
One's good.
Wow.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's not even a hesitant or a ha-ha funny. I'd give one up to play Augusta.
I noticed that. That's a little extreme, I think.
If I guaranteed you, the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. Guaranteed you they were going to do it. Would you give one up to not be on the sideline, but to be like standing next to Andy Reid when it happened?
No, I'm not. No. There's nothing that I'd be willing to do that for, to give up a body part of any type.
You can take one. Everything else that I need to operate in that capacity would still work without that function? Yeah. Like you can't have the main event. You can't have the big show, but you can absolutely take one of the boys. I don't need them both. And to play around at Augusta, yeah, I give one up. Not even a question, not even a delay.
Yeah, but twins need each other. If you take away one twin, I mean, it's never the same.
Tell you what, if one of them looks up at me and tells me I'd be sad and lonely, then I'll listen. But so far, you know, I was going to say they haven't talked to me throughout my life. They have, not with words, but you get it. Yes, I would give up one of the two to play around at Augusta, to go out there and shoot 122 on America's, to throw an entire box of golf balls away on one round of golf. Yes, 1,000% you could take one. And for the record, if you ask me, would I give up one to be on the sideline at a Saints Super Bowl? Probably not, to be honest. Probably not. Augusta is elite. It's a different level. It's when people ask, how do you get this jacked up about a golf tournament? That's how and that's why right there. Because it's as much about the venue and the course as it is the guys playing it. The guys playing it are the same guys that are playing golf every other week of the year. The guys playing it are the same guys I can watch play in just about every other tournament around the calendar. And I do watch the majority of those tournaments. But Augusta's special, man. It's special. And I don't know how to translate what Augusta means to golf fans in a way that could ever be more clear than, yes, I would give up half of my below the belt weight to play one round on that course, 100%. Hi, I'm Rob Brown, and that guy over there, the dude that's asking me about giving up half your junk. No, that's not true. I don't want to say it that way. Because like I said, you can't have the main event. You can have half of the undercard, though. That's Lonzo, who is back metaphorically, mostly, from the dead. How you feeling, fella? It's glad to have you. Good to have you back in the saddle.
I am. I live.
He lives.
That's all I can say. When I'm done, going home, going back to bed.
I believe that. I believe that. Lonzo tapped the play like a champion today sign on the way into the building today. And here he is.
I would have been back yesterday, but I wasn't allowed. So, I mean, you know, yesterday would have been a whole lot worse than today, though.
I mean, Brandon stepped in. Brent did an excellent job. I appreciate the hard work and effort. As always, good to have you back, pal.
Yeah, the boss said, take another day. I'm like, eh, all right.
For the record, that's the right decision. Like, I get it. Lonzo is that stubborn linebacker with a cowboy collar whose arm is hanging on by one remaining tendon. And he's like, I'm good, coach. I got this.
I still worked like 4 hours at home yesterday. So, I mean, you know.
He's untouchable, people.
I don't want to get behind on my stuff.
He's untouchable. You can't ask him not to ball out, not to perform. It is what it is. So Lonzo returns to us from the almost dead.
I think I overdid it a little bit this weekend, and also I was around a lot of people, and I may have picked something up, or it just might be seasonal stuff. But there was fever involved and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, but when you're around thousands and thousands and thousands of people, there's a good chance that maybe I picked something up that way.
How was Comic-Con, by the way?
It was excellent. It was really good. There was a, he wasn't out there yet, and we had walked around the corner, and then William Shatner walked out, and we heard applause.
I mean, who else deserves it more than James T. Kirk?
I was told by one of the vendors that John Rhys-Davies, before the whole thing opened up, walked around to everybody and told them to have a great show.
That's awesome.
Especially as big as the place was. It's the biggest one ever. And when, you know, when Gimli walks around and tells you to have a good show, you're like, yes, sir, Gimli.
And my axe.
Yeah. So, no, it was really good.
That's awesome. Glad to hear it. I had hoped to make it over on Sunday morning and then just had 11 things come up on Saturday that I could not fix because it turns out it was a busy sports weekend.
It was. And right around 7:30. I'm settling in to watch night two of WrestleMania. Then the chills hit, and then the fever hit, and then everything. And I'm thinking, okay, this looks like I just want to stay up and watch WrestleMania and take a sick day the next day. But no, that's not what it was. I think the fever got up as high as 103.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so real bad, man.
Yeah, it was not.
That's real bad.
I've had higher fevers.
But yeah, that's real not good at all, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you pulled through.
Yeah, a little concerned that I might be going back to the hospital.
Dying?
Well, no. I was concerned last time about a year ago when I ended up in the hospital. So, and was getting some of the same symptoms. So, but it's either a bug or it's the sinus stuff that I get all the time. So,
well, for the record,
but we are not supposed to come here if we have a fever.
For the record, I'm glad you didn't die.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
I expect an awesome eulogy when I do go someday. Just hopefully not for like 30 more years or so.
Is Pappy going to do it? I bet Pappy does it.
Dude, I want to live to be a burden on my children. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? I want them to feed me the way I fed them.
You owe me, you little.
I'm going to drool on purpose. I won't have to drool, but I'm just going to.
Oh, wait, I forgot. Hang on, wait for it. Okay, we're good. I had to change the settings because yesterday I had the opportunity to sit down and talk wrestling for an hour and a half with our buddy Bully Rye from the Tap Outs and Touchdowns podcast, a podcast that talks about wrestling and football. A man after my own heart.
Sounds amazing.
I suspect.
Remember when we were going to do that, and I actually did that for a while, but then someone just doesn't have time anymore. You know, remember that?
Listen, it's not that I don't want to spend more hours doing broadcasting. It's just that I'm out of hours to spend. I don't know what to say.
You need to get that necklace thing or whatever it was that Hermione had so you can, you know.
The old, the wibbly-wobbly time thing?
Yeah, so you can just do multiple things.
Yeah, that's all I need. I need a clone. That's what the world needs, a second Rob Brown, for sure. We got a day lined up, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to... to get into on the radio broadcast today. Tara Vanderveer stepping away after 38 seasons as Stanford's head coach. She walks away as the winningest head coach in all-time NCAA history with over 1,200 wins, three titles, 14 Final Fours. There are five coaches in history with three titles. She is one of them, one of three coaches with 100 NCAA tournament wins on the career. Listen, we had a conversation earlier this week that I'm glad you're here because I want to run it back by you, great one, because I think we might have found, I think that someone on Twitter found a good way to handle the conversation, because I think the next generation has gotten carried away with goading people in things, right? And I noticed, like, even Dawn Staley in her postgame celebration after South Carolina won another natty, she called Caitlin Clark's, quote, one of the goats of our game, which is fine because she is, but I hate that phrase because whenever there's an acronym, I say in my head, I don't know why I say the whole thing out loud. So when somebody says GOAT, I just instantly in my head say greatest of all time, which means she said, thanks to Caitlin Clark, one of the greatest of all times in our game. And I'm like, nah, there can by definition be only one greatest of all time. I know Lonzo and I have
until,
had the joke.
Until they are surpassed by someone else.
Right.
Lonzo then that and person I, is no longer the greatest of all time.
Right. But for now, they are the greatest of all time. And Lonzo and I have made the joke that the term should be the GOAT so far, the GOAT for now, whatever. Brady's the GOAT for now, whoever you want to put in that slogan. I heard somebody the other day say we should not be having conversation about GOAT as in everybody's got to pick one and that's got to be it. It should be more along the lines of the way that we talk about top shelf liquors. You might have your favorite top shelf. I might have my favorite top shelf. Your partner might have their favorite top shelf. My person might have their favorite top shelf. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of liquors up on the top shelf and they all deserve to be there. Which one's your favorite is fine. But we should be talking about the top shelf, not the one bottle. And I kind of like that metaphor. I do think there are some athletes, and in the case of Tara Vanderveer, there are some coaches that they're the GOAT just based on what they've accomplished, just what they've achieved. Nobody has won more than Tara Vanderveer. No one, not Mike Krzyzewski, not Pat Summitt. Nobody has won as many games as she has. She has won as many rings as just about everybody else has or could. And I think it's probably harder to win a natty in college basketball than maybe any other major American sport when it's all said and done. Tara Vanderveer, I think, is one of the very, very few in the world of sports that you can put a GOAT stamp on, and it doesn't need to be a discussion about who else is in the mix. She won more than everybody else. She outlasted everybody else. She's got rings as much as anybody else in that conversation, but she has more dubs than everybody else, and I think she goes in that mix. Now, we can talk about who might knock her off that platform. It might be Dawn Staley. She's only got to double her win count so far and then add another 100 on top of it, and she'll be in the mix. But she's also young and new to the game. She can absolutely hang in there for another 28 seasons and do just that. But I think Tara Vanderveer is going to walk away with a GOAT stamp, and I think the numbers back her up on that. We'll talk more about that later in the show. We got to talk a lot of NBA today. Very, very interesting NBA news and developments last night because, the Golden State Warriors look like the Golden State Warriors again. They knocked down 26 three-pointers in a win over the LA Lakers last night. 26 threes, including 5 of 7 from Draymond Green. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that game, a little bit about that score, about what that does to the NBA's play-in and play-off pictures. That's coming up in just a little while. But there was an interesting story that developed a couple of days ago when we saw Klay Thompson call out Draymond Green. And it's one of those situations where it's like sometimes leadership comes from an unexpected source. Sometimes leadership comes from someone or somewhere that you don't expect. And for a guy that there was a lot of drama around earlier in the season for having to take his behind to the sideline, I think Klay Thompson may have pulled the trigger on getting the dubs right. So I want to talk about that. Giannis Antetokounmpo went to the floor last night, non-contact injury, was running back to the offensive side of the hardwood and just collapsed to the ground while holding the back of his left calf. That's not great for a team that currently holds the 2 seed in the East. Their best player going down to a non-contact injury, needing an MRI today on a no-contact situation. So we'll talk about what it might mean if Giannis Antetokounmpo has to miss any time. Of course, we have talked about our national championship. We have talked about WrestleMania, but the great one wasn't here. So we're going to circle back around to both of those stories and get his thoughts, including on Cody Rhodes finishing his story at WrestleMania Sunday night. I've got a major concern. I've got a major concern for whatever is the next story. I want to run it by the great one and get his thoughts on it. We have got a ton of stuff to talk about on the show today, and we hope that you will be a part of it. Here's how you do it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is available for you at 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read it on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, W-O-R-D. And you can tweet everyone here at the station at The Fan Upstate. Those are all the different ways to get in touch with the show today. Let's run to our first break. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, we get everything underway. I want to talk NFL draft today because we are 2 weeks and a day away from round one. And I want to start where else with the quarterbacks. I was looking up some quarterback numbers yesterday because I was filling in on the BetQL network with Nick Costos out of New York City. And he said, Rob Brown, what's your most confident over-under NFL win total for the year? And my answer was the Washington Commanders with the over. He gave me a blank stare. I want to give you my reason, and it circles back around to the draft. I want to get your thoughts on my take on the quarterbacks and how they impact the rest of the first round of the NFL draft, 2 weeks and a day away from today. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. It's Rob. It's Lonzo. It's you. Let's talk quarterbacks in the NFL draft here for just a moment. Because I was looking through some numbers the other day. I believe that when you evaluate a quarterback, there are, above all others, three different metrics that I utilize in order to gauge the potential, not success, but the potential success of a quarterback at the National Football League. Those three different metrics are accuracy, arm strength, and creativity. Creativity in terms of the NFL has a lot of very good defensive players. How does your quarterback maintain, compose, and deliver when defenses are swarming him? That's creativity. Arm strength. I'm not just talking about the ability to whistle the rock 50 yards down the field. I am talking about when a guy hits an out on a break and he's got a cornerback in his hip pocket, how quickly can your quarterback get the ball from his hand to that receiver? Because in the NFL, he may only have a window of a quarter of a second to get the ball into the waiting arms of a receiver in a way that a defensive back can't get an arm out there and knock it to the turf. Sometimes you got to be able to hum the ball out there. And the third thing is accuracy. Because those windows not only open and close very quickly, not only do you have to be able to whistle the ball where you need it to go, but you need it to go where you need it to go. When a guy comes out of a five-yard out route with a cornerback playing press man on the outside in his back pocket and you hum the ball out to him in the flats, I got to make sure that not only is it getting there in that quarter of a second window, but I got to make sure it's in a spot where the receiver and only the receiver can catch it. Those three things are the most important. Now, there's a lot of other things that we have to include in the discussion. We've got to include composure. We've got to include ability to handle pressure, which I guess is the same thing. We've got to include leadership values. But when it comes to leadership, let's call a spade a spade. Guys will always fall in line behind a good player. That is why we have seen leaders who are boisterous. We have seen leaders who are the strong, silent type. We have seen all types of leaders. Because at the end of the day, if you go out there and you win, guys are going to fall in line because they want to win as well. So to me, the three metrics that I think give you the best possible path to success are creativity, arm strength, and accuracy. There's a couple of things that Dan Pizzuta, who's an NFL analyst, put together when he went and he looked at the players coming out playing the quarterback position into the NFL draft, and he put these numbers down. And I wanted to kind of evaluate them. I wanted to look primarily at the first round guys, but also at some of the later round guys, because I believe there are going to be a couple of teams that have a need for quarterback, but it comes down the road. So they're more likely to look project quarterback. And if they're more likely to look project quarterback, these guys are still going to be up for a breakdown. But I don't think they necessarily impact the opening round. So let's look at the guys that are largely being included amongst the discussion for the first four picks, maybe five. We know those players are Caleb Williams. We know those players are Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and for some reason that escapes me, J.J. McCarthy. So let's look at the three legs of that stool of success for these quarterbacks. Let's start with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is the projected number one overall pick to the Chicago Bears. The first metric that Pizzuta looked at is accuracy, on-target percentage rate, and completion percentage rate for all these quarterbacks. And he broke it down into short, medium, and long-range passes. Caleb Williams, looking at the three different levels. Caleb Williams throwing to 1 to 10-yard routes, short routes, 1 to 10 yards. Threw on target, great one, at a percentage of 48%. That means every time he threw within 10 yards, he was on target one out of two times. His long ball percentage, passes over 20 yards, checked in at 46%. So just a touch shy for both of one out of every two passes being on target. Rizzuta said that passes from 11 to 19 yards were on target. And by on target, when he says on target, I am talking hitting a guy in the hands. Now, at the college level, passes can be on target or not on target, but still be completed because you don't have DBs that are all Americans. So you throw it up over a guy's helmet. That's not an on-target pass. You throw it in a way that a guy streaking across the field has to put on the brakes to get a ball that's thrown behind him. That's not on target. If you take away overthrows, underthrows, throws that are too high, throws that are too low, if you are looking at passes that hit a guy in stride, on the fly, in the hands, his on-target percentage rate for mid-range passes, 11 to 19 yards, Rizzuta says it's 5%. He can't hit a throw from 11 to 19 yards to a running on the move target in the pocket. Now, completion percentage matters too. Short passes, 61%. Medium passes, 58%. Here's the number that blew my mind. On passes over 20-plus yards, Caleb Williams threw for a 93% completion percentage. That's insane. If he uncorked one deep, it was getting caught. He was putting a catchable ball out there. Now, obviously, this number is impacted because statistics tell you a lot, but not everything. This number also takes into consideration wide receivers dropping passes. That is something that every quarterback has to deal with. So let's look at how that compares to some of the other guys. Jaden Daniels, yardage of 1 to 10 on his passes, short completions, 20% accuracy rate on passes under 10 yards. From 11 to 19 yards, 38%. On target percentage, over 20 yards, 88%. Drake May. And this is why I've said, and I believe this, Drake May is going to get somebody fired. Drake May is going to get somebody fired, because somebody is going to take Drake May at the third overall position. Jaden Daniels is going number two to Washington. That is no longer a prognostication from me. That's a spoiler alert. Jaden Daniels is going number two to Washington. I have felt that way for a couple of weeks now. Yesterday, I got a chance to sit in with Nick Costos of You Better You Bet on the BetQL Network, who has got a number of big-time shows on Sirius as well as across other platforms around New York City. He interviewed Ron Rivera 2 days before Ron Rivera got canned. And Ron Rivera, on the interview with Costos, didn't say, we're drafting Jaden Daniels, but he said it was real, real likely. And I don't think that I've got no reason to believe that they would walk that back just because Ron Rivera is not there anymore. That's the right pick. So why over Drake May? It's because of these numbers. These are the numbers that are going to get somebody who drafts Drake May fired. On-target percentage rate of short passes, 6%. On-target percentage of mid-range passes, 3%. On-target percentage of 20-plus yard passes, 30%. Now, Drake May is good. Drake May's good. Drake May's not as good as everybody's making him out to be. He had good wide receivers at North Carolina. And I would argue that by and large, North Carolina was working with dramatically less talented opposition than either USC or LSU were. Drake May's completion percentage on short, medium, and long passes, 46%, 30%, 72%. Drake May made his money by dropping it in the breadbasket deep, and he still wasn't as good at it as Jaden Daniels was. These numbers are absolutely wild to me. Now, these are so that we're clear, these are career numbers in college. These are not just this upcoming or just this past season. These are career numbers. But these numbers are interesting. So the conversation to me starts with Jaden Daniels versus Drake May and then Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. I don't get why Drake May is the number two consensus pick for so many people. I don't think he is the consensus pick anymore. Like I said, I think the Commanders are going with Jaden Daniels at this point. But Drake May and Caleb Williams do have one thing going for him. Both of these guys very regularly had a structure around them that didn't work. Lincoln Riley's offense at USC was not good this year. Mack Brown's offense at North Carolina did not have the firepower this year that it had the year before. So both of these guys had to make up a lot of this as they go. And the numbers yet still, to me, put Drake May way down the list. Way down the list. Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner. I think a lot of folks are looking at this guy and thinking the reason he's here is because he's got a laser rocket for an arm. And he does. Jaden Daniels throwing over 20 yards is, you know who he reminds me of? Another former LSU guy in the way he throws the ball down the field is Jamarcus Russell. Remember when the Raiders took Jamarcus Russell and the whole thing before his draft was that he could throw a ball 70 yards from his knees? What's the difference? Did anybody look at Jamarcus Russell and go, if the play breaks down, this guy's the guy that can save you? No, Jaden Daniels is. Jaden Daniels is. When Jaden Daniels gets outside of the pocket, he becomes an absolute machine. I told Kostos yesterday, I've said it to Lonzo and you guys on this show. Jaden Daniels has one critique on his draft profile that people don't like. And it's the fact that when he runs, he doesn't run smart. Jaden Daniels took shots this year on the run. But I'll ask you right now, what would you rather have? A guy with a cannon that can fire the ball out on short and mid-range routes with a high accuracy rate, who takes too many shots, or the other way around? A guy that can run and run smart, but doesn't have the ability to put the ball on the money when it needs to get there. Because I feel like, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like, by and large, I can coach a guy to slide. I can coach a guy to go down.
Because Patrick Mahomes still struggles with that.
I think Patrick Mahomes has gotten much better at it than he was earlier in his career.
We've seen some other quarterbacks, sliding is not their thing.
Again, and maybe it's just because I'm a baseball guy, sliding's not hard. All right? It can be unnatural at the beginning. But if you're telling me Patrick Queen's on the other side and I need you to learn how to slide, you learn how to slide. Let me put it this way. So, if I told you right now that your career depended on either A, coaching a guy how to slide, or B, coaching the guy on the mechanics of consistently hitting a wide receiver in a quarter-second window out of a 10-yard break, which of those two things would you rather coach a quarterback to save your career?
I'm going to teach him how to slide.
Yeah, that's correct. The one thing that I need Jaden Daniels to get better at is something that a guy who doesn't even play football could teach him. I'll bring a former major, I'll bring Cody Decker into the building and teach Patrick Mahomes, or in this case, Jaden Daniels, how to properly slide. I'll have him like the Goo Goo Dolls in 10 minutes. That actually is a really good theme song. That's Jaden Daniels' draft theme song. Why don't you slide my band? That's a better joke than I'm going to get credit for.
I'm not sure I'm familiar with the song.
Yeah, you are. I played it in the break. You've heard it a billion times.
It's probably your depiction of your rendition.
Oh, for sure. I suck. I get it. So, to me, Jaden Daniels is the clear number two pick. Let me rephrase that. To me, Jaden Daniels is a clear number one pick. I've already said on multiple platforms, multiple shows, multiple outlets, Jaden Daniels is going to have a better career than Caleb Williams.
I am just I am not thrilled by this crop of quarterbacks. I'm just not. They just all seem amid, and we'll find out. But they just all, there's no one that stands out to the degree where you're like, oh, that's the guy right there.
I'll be real clear. I disagree with that, but I'm not going to push back real hard on it because I get it. The only guy I don't feel that way about is Jaden Daniels. He's the only one I don't feel. I feel that way about Caleb Williams. And just so we're clear, it's not because of the pink phone case or the painted nails or any of that. I don't care about that. It's 2024. Get over yourself. Nobody cares. Okay? I don't care about the pink phone case. I don't care about the painted nails. I don't care about the crying on the sideline. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is the fact that when Jaden Daniels was up against an elevated pass rush rate, his numbers came down. That's just a fact. When Pac-12 defenses were bringing extra noise at Caleb Williams, his performance numbers came down. That's just an empirical fact. And it is because of that that I don't see Caleb Williams at the next level. Because in year one, as he is going to get the start in Chicago in week one, as a defensive coordinator, I'm salivating. I'm not running anything more than base cut. There's no nickel dime for me against Caleb Williams. It's a blitz on 100% of plays until he cooks me. Jaden Daniels, what's a blitz going to do? Force him out of the pocket? Yeah, to make his job a little tougher. But Jaden Daniels faced as high a blitz rate as anybody in college football last year and won the Heisman Trophy. On a 3-loss team, won the Heisman Trophy. Outside of them, I got zero faith in Captain Checkdown Bo Nix. I don't even understand how J.J. McCarthy's in this discussion at all, with all due respect.
It's just because he was on a national championship team. That's got to be the reason why.
I mean, I get it. But if I asked you how much of that natty was J.J. McCarthy responsible for, and you said anything more than just a little bit of it, I've got to ask why. This is a guy that they brought to Penn State and then said, don't throw the football, QB. It's a guy that went up against Ohio State in a de facto Big Ten championship game at the end of the year. And when the pressure was on the line, and I understand you got Blake Corum, and I understand Blake Corum's going to be a first-round draft pick and a very good running back. But man, in the biggest spots of the year, literally the two biggest games of the year, Michigan took J.J. McCarthy out of the mix. You want to know how I know J.J. McCarthy's not the guy? Because if J.J. McCarthy was the guy, I think there'd be a lot of buzz out of Los Angeles, California, that Jim Harbaugh is cooking up a way to send Justin Herbert away for a first-round draft pick to somebody and was going to draft J.J. McCarthy. And I've heard not a. Now, it is smoke season still. There is still a lot of decisions that we have no idea what's coming down the pipe. But there is nothing right now that says that J.J. McCarthy's being considered not just by Jim Harbaugh, but really by anybody. I don't understand how he's in this mix. The draft order is, in my opinion, in terms of quarterbacks that I think will have success at the next level. The draft order to me is Jaden Daniels 1, Caleb Williams 2, Michael Penix Jr. 3, Drake May 4, and there's not really anybody else that jumps off the page at me. There's some prospects I'm interested in. Jordan Travis out of FSU, if his knee is healthy. Keaton Slovis out of BYU is a big arm target.
Somebody's going to reach for McCarthy.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, it always happens. Someone's going to.
I 100% agree. I don't think there's anything wrong if your team is set with taking a project quarterback every year out of the draft, because you never know when Tom Brady's going to fall in your lap. And I could be wrong. Maybe there's a Tom Brady in here. I'll tell you who the project quarterback I'd take right now is. Not a joke. Spencer Rattler. Spencer's the project quarterback for me. That's a guy I can get in the fourth, fifth round. Bring him in, giving him opportunity to sit behind a vet for a few years and learn. Spencer Rattler is my project quarterback if there's going to be one. But outside of that, Joe Milton? No. Austin Reed out of Western Kentucky? No. Devin Leary out of Kentucky? That's a guy with an 18% on-target pass rate of long-distance footballs. No. There's going to be a rush at quarterback. Here's why people are going to reach for J.J. McCarthy. Because after J.J. McCarthy on this list, outside of Spencer Rattler, there's not anybody else that I look at and I go, that guy's got it. Not Sam Hartman. Not Captain Checkdown Bo Nix. Not Michael Pratt out of Tulane. With all due respect, he had a wonderful career. Not a guy I trust. So how do you think the quarterbacks shake out in the NFL draft? We'll talk more about it as we get closer. The first selection, 2 weeks and 1 day away. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Joey B said, I'd go for Bo Nix before I'd go for J.J. McCarthy. I could not agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. I will take Bo Nix. I will take a guy that's had a little bit more development. I will take a guy that showed up in the biggest games. And I will take a guy that his coaches trusted him. I don't think, I understand at the end of the day, and this is what I've said plenty of times. College coaches, I do think, have an interest in developing players for the NFL. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to recruit blue-chip prospects who have dreams of making it to the big dance one day, you do have to be able to lean on, look at all these guys we sent to the NFL, and look at all these guys that succeeded there with our development. This is why, if you go to any football program in America, any college football program in America, every single one of them is going to have on the wall in their athletic facility somewhere, they are going to have a wall that is paying homage to their alum in the NFL. And I don't care if it's the University of West Florida or the University of South Carolina. There's a wall somewhere that has a tribute to all the players that went to the big dance. And the reason why is, as has been mentioned, because they want the best prospects they can get, prospects that have NFL aspirations, to come in and say, oh, look, I will tell you for a fact, I know this to be true, that there has been no shortage of players that went to the University of Alabama, specifically offensive linemen, over the past handful of years, because of the fact that Nick Saban so consistently sent offensive linemen to be successful at the next level. And they wanted in on that. They wanted a piece of that action, boss, as Marshawn Lynch might say. That is a highly successful recruiting tool. And it is a recruiting tool that, if you let it, will carry you a very long way. A very long way. So I believe that they care, but it is not a priority over winning. over winning national championships. And that's what makes me nervous about J.J. McCarthy. Michigan had a vested interest in getting J.J. McCarthy ready for the NFL draft. However, when it came down to it in games against Pennsylvania State University, when it came down to it in games against the Ohio State University, those coaches did not trust J.J. McCarthy. And as far as I'm concerned, that alone is reason enough to leave him on the draft board and take your shot with a Bo Nix. That alone is reason enough to make that happen. But I've called it. I'm riding with it. You're going to have a hard time backing me off of it, especially considering, and this is true, I looked up the calendar, none of these guys are going to play another game between here and the NFL draft in 2 weeks and a day. To me, the guy that has done more to prove that he is it at the next level is Jaden Daniels. That being said, Lonzo's not wrong for not having a super high opinion of anybody. I get it. I don't agree with Jaden Daniels, but I get it. The great one's back, you guys. Not only is he back, but he is about to perform a sports flash for the ages.
Don't do that to me. With roughly three games remaining in the NBA's regular season, play-in and playoff races are heating up. Two teams vying to stay in the playoff picture. The Lakers and Warriors battled last night, with Golden State getting the 134-120 win. Golden State used 26 three-pointers to hold the lead, including 5 of 7 from, yes, Draymond Green. Who saw that coming? The win draws Golden State within half a game of L.A. for the ninth seed and one game behind Sacramento for the eighth. PGA Tour reporter Jason Sobel told our own Rob Brown yesterday that weather concerns at Augusta National Golf Course could cause a postponement or delay the first round of the Masters Golf Tournament. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debates, and a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.